Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And I'm here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ there in Hamilton, Texas. We are broadcasting here from Studio 4 in Stephenville, Texas tonight, and we are airing on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland and KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas. We air also at KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and soon we are told that we'll also be airing out of a station in Lubbock, Texas. And also, we always are on the gospelradionetwork.org, the internet radio station that comes out of Mount Vernon, Texas. We want to welcome you to the program. This is the Harris Moore Expedition Through the Bible. We have a live phone hooked up right now. The number is posted on the chat box. If you get on that gospelradionetwork.org, you can go there to the chat box, sign in, you will have access to directly to the studio here, and you can ask questions, you can make comments through there. We would rather you pick up the telephone and give us a call. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. It's a toll-free number. You can call from anywhere in the world. We'll pick up the tab, and we would love to hear your questions or your comments. Now, our motto has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. You can go to our webpage on the internet, www.harrisonmoore.org, and you can get in there to the gospelradionetwork.org. You can look there also. You can sign up for the podcast, and you can get radio programs that have been aired in the past, and you can listen to them there. But we would love for you to call in. The number again, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. If that weren't enough ways to get a hold of us, you can go to the internet on the email, and you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. questions@harrisonmoore.org. And if you send us to send it to that address, then both Tom and I will get the email, and we will respond to it as quickly as we possibly can. Now, we do have some additional sponsors for this program. The Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, where Michael Light preaches. The De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, and I believe they got a new preacher there now, do they not? Micah Dawson. Micah Dawson is going to begin preaching there, I believe, this Sunday.
He starts first Sunday in August.
First Sunday in August. I stand corrected. Okay, at the Dublin, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and there we have Jeremy Sprouse. The Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, where Terry Jackson preaches. We have the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, and there Richard Rutledge preaches, and the Ninth and Main Congregation in San Angelo, Texas, and there Josh Romo and also Rick Popejoy preach there. And while I'm on that subject, they're at the Ninth and Main Congregation. They also have a program on this Gospel Radio Network at 11:30 a.m. each day. Rick Popejoy and Josh Romo both will be on the program, and it's called The Reflections Upon the Precious Divine Book. They both do a great job. We would encourage you to tune in there at 11:30 a.m. if you're handy to the Internet. There are many other programs that you can tune in there at the Gospel Radio Network, and throughout our broadcast we'll try to mention a few more of those things. But remember, we air every Monday night at 7 o'clock at this Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Now, we have one more sponsor. It is the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and that's located on 4839 10 Top Road. And Richard Massey will be your preacher there. We invite you to check out every one of these congregations if you're in those areas. They have some good gospel preachers there, good faithful men that that are concerned about preaching the truth and always preaching nothing but the truth. We have started a series of lessons on the certainty of your calling. This is something that each and every one of us need to know. We need to understand what we have been commissioned by God to do and where we are going at the end of this life. We need to know for certainty where we are going. And so we look at the Christian graces, and we're talking about these Christian graces. And if you have your Bibles, we would encourage you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I won't read the entire text that is up on the chat box right now, beginning in verse 3, but I do want to read beginning in verse 5, and we will enumerate here the Christian graces. He says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we have covered faith and we have covered virtue, and tonight we are going to deal with knowledge. Knowledge is one of the most important things that we can have. A person may possess information, but if it is not true information, then it is only information. It's not true knowledge. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is knowledge. And Tom, I know that you have a story that or an account that you would like to relate to us in the Old Testament. It begins there in Genesis chapter 30 and going all the way through chapter 37. It has to do with Jacob and his 12 sons, especially the son Joseph. Would you tell us about that? Because we're going to see the difference between just information and true valuable knowledge.
You know, most of us who have grown up in the church in any at all remember the story of Joseph. And Jacob had two wives, and one of his wives was named Rachel, and she was barren for a long time, and it was Jacob's favorite wife, the one whom he really wanted. But she was barren. And after a long time, finally, she had a son whose name was Joseph. And Joseph became Jacob's favorite son. You know, and that in and of itself shows some difficulty, doesn't it, to show one son above another.
Partiality.
Exactly. And he gave him a coat of many colors, and his brothers were jealous of him, and he would have also dreams from the Lord, and he would tell his brothers about it. And so it came to be the fact where his brothers really hated him. Well, one day Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers who were out in the field with their lambs, and they saw him coming. They said, "Behold, here cometh the dreamer." And so they took Joseph, and they threw him in a ditch. And then along about that time, there came some Ishmaelites, and they sold Joseph to them. Well, they took the coat of many colors back to their dad after they had ripped it up and put blood on it, and showed this coat to their father and says, "Father, we found this." And the father knew that it was the coat that had been given to his son Joseph. And he thought for sure his son had been killed by wild beasts. And so he mourned. He was saddened, and he would not be comforted, because he thought within his heart of hearts, that his son had been killed by a wild beast. He believed with every ounce of his being, David, but even though he believed it to be true, that knowledge that he had was incorrect.
It was. And I do not believe, according to the scriptures that we read there in verses 31 through 36, I don't believe he could have grieved any more grievously than he did, because he couldn't have believed it any more zealously than he did, that his son was indeed dead.
He refused to be comforted. So much so he would not be comforted. Exactly right.
He wouldn't be. And so what he had was information, but it wasn't true information. And so it was only information. It was not true knowledge. And he really really believed the information that he had,
even though it was false information.
Right.
And so we need to, David, to understand the value of what true knowledge is all about. And we're talking here tonight about the Christian graces. And one of these Christian graces is knowledge. Not just any old knowledge, but true biblical knowledge, as we're going to be pointing out tonight. Now remember tonight, the number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, Paul, writing to Timothy, makes a very profound statement, does he not, David, with regard to knowledge and perhaps some knowledge that's not accurate knowledge?
Right. Paul writes concerning the gospel message, and he tells Timothy, this is a great exhortation, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust. In other words, guard that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely called so, or which is falsely called knowledge. Now, in other words, avoid falsehoods which are called knowledge. And there are a lot of falsehoods out there, Tom, especially when you get into the religious realm.
Most definitely true. And you know, David, when we think about this idea of knowledge, we need to understand that there is nothing in the world more important than truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, truth is not all that important. Well, what about love? Or what about grace? What about faith? But isn't it true, David, that these words are only of meaning value when they're defined in the light of truth? Because a lot of people, when they think about love and they think about grace and faith, their understanding of these words is inaccurate. It's based upon a false knowledge, a knowledge that is inaccurate. And so it's very important that our knowledge be true knowledge and not false.
Right. And those words that you mentioned just a moment ago, you can get a myriad of definitions about love, or a myriad of definitions about grace, and a myriad of definitions about faith. And a lot of it is emotional. But this is what I feel. But until all of those words are defined in the light of truth, they're just words. I heard an actress make a statement one time, and she said something like this, said, I won't go to bed with anyone that I don't love. Well, there's all kinds of things wrong with that in the first place, but her definition of love was based upon some kind of false information of what true love actually was. A popular concept of love is based upon physical attractiveness.
Exactly. And, you know, there are also some, David, who say that love is really ignoring sin. And we're going to give an illustration of that in a minute. But that's what some people think about love, just ignoring that which is false. But when a person reads the Scriptures, reads the truth, and learns the meaning of true love, he understands then that love is not mere passion. Love is not mere lust. Love is not mere overlooking that which is false. Much more.
Without the truth, Tom, a person is only going to be left to guess, or left to have some kind of an opinion or an emotional feeling about what that truly is, unless they understand the true meaning of the word. Then they're just going to be left to guess or have an opinion of it based upon some kind of a human experience or something that is logical or rational in their own mind. And this is kind of what happened to Jacob. Is this not right? What was his feeling, and was his knowledge not based upon his emotion and his opinion, based upon the knowledge that he had received?
And there was some sort of evidence out there, but he drew the wrong conclusion from the evidence.
Absolutely.
And you know, David, you and I were talking about, we don't have time to go into what we was talking about today, but to give you an example. You know, we can believe something to be true all of our lives, something we've always been told, but then we come to look at it from a different light, look at it in light of truth, look at it in light of the Scriptures, and we have come to find out that we've been believing that wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so knowledge has to be based upon truth, and we have to have all of the truth to have an understanding of any topic or any word. And there are a lot of people, David, who have an idea of what love and faith and grace is, but it's their own ideas. Or what they have is some knowledge, but not all of the details on that topic or that word.
This, in today's climate of religious climate of people, not only in the United States but all over the world, we have people putting words in the mouth of Jesus Christ. This is what they believe. This is their opinion based upon some kind of an emotional human experience. This is what I think that God would do, or this is what I think that Jesus Christ would say if he were here today. And we have something that came across in the Abilene Reporter News here just the other day. It was a quote from Elton John. Now, everybody knows who Elton John is. Well, maybe not everybody, but he is a very, very popular rock and roll singer from Europe. And I believe he's even been knighted as Sir John, Sir Elton John. But the fact of the matter is, this is a homosexual who wants everybody to know that he's a homosexual, that he married his boyfriend, if you will, if you want to call it a marriage, that's what he called it. But he went through all of this to make sure that everybody would understand and know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was a homosexual in a homosexual marriage. And by the way, I think they've even adopted a child, bless his heart. But beyond that, this is what the Abilene Reporter News quoted that Elton John said. He said this, quote, "If Jesus were around today," Elton John says, "that he'd be accepting of supporting of gay marriage." In an interview with Sky News, he explained that Jesus would also back same-sex marriage for clergy and end celibacy to the Catholic Church. Quote, "We live in a different time. If Jesus were alive today, I cannot see him as the Christian person that he was and the great person that he was saying that this could not happen. He was all about love and compassion and forgiveness and trying to bring people together, and that's what the church should be about." Now, this is the opinion of a homosexual rock star who is known throughout the world that, by the way, is going to have a tremendous amount of influence over people that listen to him just because he is who he is, Tom.
Exactly. You know, and when you think of this man that pretty much is known world around the world, he's a renowned rock star and a professed homosexual. And it's interesting to me, David, that this kind of ignorance can be spewed by this one whose so-called authority that he has, and yet no gospel preacher could be quoted on a Bible doctrine. You know, we get scathed, raked over the coals when we set forth our biblical views.
By the media.
And now here's a man who comes forth and sets forth what he says is truth, and his knowledge of what Jesus is, and I put knowledge in quotation marks, his knowledge is wrong.
It's wrong.
And that's a perfect example, David, of how some people can have a knowledge, but here they may have a knowledge based upon what Elton John says about Jesus instead of what the Bible says about Jesus. And we have so many people today, David, who are painting Jesus as some sort of sissy boy, some sort of fellow who is always lenient to everyone, loves everybody, never going to say a harsh word about anybody. But it didn't take you long to look into the Scriptures and see that Jesus very vehemently at times would condemn false doctrine. And as a matter of fact, does Jesus Christ himself not in essence, condemn specifically homosexuality?
There's no doubt, no doubt. And before we get to his statement condemning fornication, whether it be homosexual or heterosexual, we'll give you the passage in just a moment. There are so many things wrong with what Elton John said here, Tom. One of the things that is so wrong is he's putting words in Jesus' mouth. He said, if Jesus was alive today, I cannot see him as the Christian person that he was. Well, in the first place, just to show you how ignorant and how much knowledge this man doesn't have, Jesus Christ was never a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Christ. He can't be a follower of himself. Jesus Christ was a Jew. He lived under the law of Moses. He died under the law of Moses. He kept the law of Moses without sin in his life, the only man to have ever done it. This man was not a Christian. He calls him a Christian. That just shows you how ignorant this individual can be. And even with all of that display of ignorance, he's still going to have a multitude of followers believing that Jesus Christ is okay with homosexuals, he's okay with homosexuality, and he's okay with same-sex marriage.
After all, Elton John said it.
Oh,
right?
yeah, that ought to put
but
it there.
But you know, David, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, Jesus there is condemning fornication and says that the only person who is willing to remarry would be those who have been involved in fornication. Now, only the innocent party can be remarried. But you know what, David? When you think about fornication, what does that include? Well, it includes adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It includes homosexuality. And so you've got heterosexual fornication. You've got homosexual fornication. And all of those would fall under the category of fornication. So when Jesus says, except for the cause of fornication, that would certainly include homosexuality, especially in light of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9,
mm-hmm.
where it's specifically spelled out that fornication is a sin, and you cannot get to heaven being involved in homosexuality.
And that's what Jesus, through the Bible, has to say. Now, it's an amazing thing, Tom, that people would disregard what the Son of God has to say about this issue and instead revert to some homosexual rock star who is doing some abhorrent things, and they would rather believe Elton John than they would Jesus the Christ.
Now, that's a knowledge that they have, but it is a false knowledge.
A very false knowledge. And there's one more thing about this. The media is going to do everything in its power to promote the words of Elton John, but they will condemn any Christian that would dare raise his voice against homosexuality.
We're talking about the Christian graces, how we are to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. The number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you're on the internet and you'd like to get in involved in the chat box, you go to the Gospel Radio Network. If you don't see the chat box at the bottom of the page, just refresh your browser and you'll see it pop up at the bottom of your page. Again, tonight we're talking about the Christian graces and we're discussing knowledge. David, just how important is knowledge?
Well, I'll tell you how important it is, and I want to mention what we just got. We got a question, a comment from an individual that came on questions@harrisonmore.org. And this man has written us, and he says the reason he believes that the reason that Elton John has so much influence is because of the ignorance of the scriptures by the vast majority of those that follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here we have one of our listeners really answering the question that you just asked. Ignorance of the scriptures makes ignorant people.
And you know, and that's connected with what we found on the chat box, mm-hmm. David, written by Rick. He says, how can a man gain knowledge? What are some things I need to do to maintain that knowledge? Well, the first thing we need to realize in gaining knowledge is we've got to go to the proper source, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are some people who are going to go to Elton John for their source of religion, for a source of knowledge. Other people are going to go to one's own thinking or how they were raised, or they may even go to some commentary or some secular book to gain that knowledge. But as we're going to see as we go through our lesson tonight, that the true knowledge, the knowledge of value, is going to be coming from the Word of God. And 2 Peter 2 and verse 1 gives some insight into that,
right,
doesn't it?
The very beginning of our text that I didn't read just a moment ago. You see, this letter, with all of these Christian graces that are included here that I read from, between verses 5 and 8, it starts off like this. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so right there we see that the recipients of this letter, the recipients are Christians. And these Christians have already begun to have knowledge, and that is because of their reverence and their respect and their fear and their love of God and the word that he has given us, the word that is revealed in his Bible. They have obeyed what that Holy Spirit directed them to do to be saved.
You know, these people receive their knowledge, and they got the knowledge of him who called them. And you know, in this knowledge, David, he tells how that they have received precious and exceeding promises, and that by receiving this knowledge, they also are able to be partakers of the divine nature. They are to be able to have the same character that God has. But this, David, only comes from the Holy Scriptures. And that's the key. And one of the things, David, is when people read and study the Scriptures, they're going to have to be diligent about it, aren't they?
Sure they are.
You know, they can't just study the Bible once a week and read about a chapter and think that you're going to be gaining that knowledge. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says to study. The American Standard says give diligence mm-hmm. to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. And so we're going to have to give diligence to our study. And you know, David also says, or I mean, Rick says something about how are we to maintain this knowledge. Well, does that not also come by our constant refreshing of our mind in the Scriptures?
There's no doubt. When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The only way that we're going to get the mind of Jesus Christ is to study the Scriptures, mm-hmm. because we have the revealed mind of Christ. We have the revealed will of Christ. And Mona writes concerning Elton John, is that what authority does he have? And that prompts the question, what authority does anybody have, regardless of whether he's a rock star or the president of the United States or the janitor at the local high school? What authority does anybody have?
Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so the knowledge we are to have is a knowledge that comes from Jesus. This knowledge is found in the Scriptures, and none of these others, they don't have knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
Well, David, it's time for us to take a break on the airwaves. We're going to be taking a break and come back on the other side of the break. You are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
You're clear.
We're still on internet radio, and we want to remind you that...
Let me take over for you, and you fix our phones for us, because we've got callers that can't call in. We're still here on the air on the Gospel Radio Network, and we want to invite you to listen throughout the day. This thing runs 24 hours a day, and there are all kinds of good programs that you can tune into. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, Rick Popejoy and Josh Romo have a program on that comes on at 11:30 a.m. It runs every morning at 11:30 a.m. Reflections upon the Precious Divine Book. And we are concerning ourselves with knowledge tonight, and that tells us immediately that if you want to gain some more knowledge from the Scriptures, what you need to do is tune in to some of these radio programs here. These guys, they're full of the knowledge of the Word, because they are using the Word as their guidelines. And as we have been talking, we're talking about knowledge tonight. And one of the things that we really, really need to know is that the knowledge that we gain from God's Word is going to be the standard by which we must guide our lives. That is the one and only standard. It can't be the standard of Elton John. It can't be the standard of Obama. It can't be the standard of even Rick Perry or anybody. Not even your preacher cannot be your standard. It can only be the Word of God. And if your preacher's not preaching that Word of God, you better get out of there.
Exactly right. Now, David, about the phone, I'm not sure what's going on, but if the 1-800 number is not working, call this number, 1-254-654-3251. I'm not showing that anybody has called our phone number, so something may be wrong with the 800 number.
Well, why don't you put that
number on the
chat box up there, and anybody on the web can be able to see it. We will repeat that number several times. I'm sitting right across the table from you, and all I can remember is the 254 part.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience tonight. Tonight we're talking about the Christian graces. And we're talking about knowledge, and we've noted here in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, these Christian graces. And in verse 5 it says, how that we should add on our part with all diligence, that we are to add to our faith virtue, and add to our virtue knowledge. Tonight we're talking about the knowledge that we are to have as one of these Christian graces. And, you know, David, we also talked about how that there are some who have knowledge of various things, but their knowledge is false. It is inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And we had mentioned the idea with Jacob and how he believed with all of his heart that his son Jacob son Joseph was dead. But in reality, he wasn't. He believed it so much that he would not be comforted. And then we talked about Elton John, who had knowledge, so he said, but that was clearly a false knowledge. But you know, David, when we think about how important knowledge is, does not our livelihood and everything we believe in this life based upon knowledge?
Yes, and a lot of people lose fortunes trying to make untrue information true. They want things to be true so badly that are not true at all. All it is bad information that people lose physical and material fortunes. But worse than that, they lose their spiritual fortune. That is their soul, the most valuable thing in the world, but because they are believing false information instead of the true knowledge that comes from the Word of God. And we had an illustration in the last hour of Elton John going on this Sky newspaper. I can't remember exactly what the name of it is, but it's out of Australia. He was interviewed there, and he made the comment that Jesus was all about love and compassion and forgiveness and trying to bring together that which the church should be, and that he was all in favor of homosexual marriages and homosexuality. And we need to understand that this is not true knowledge. It's just information. It's false at that.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and your question or comment, please. Are you there?
Well, we had a call. We still got a call? Caller?
Caller, are you there?
Well, maybe not. Call in again. Whoever you were, call in again. We'll get this thing fixed up here soon enough. We were talking about what false knowledge will do. People have a false concept of what Jesus Christ is and who he is. Very adamantly throughout the New Testament, very adamantly throughout the Old Testament, is homosexuality condemned. And there's no stuttering about it. It is condemned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, says you can't go to heaven. Now, people that don't have this knowledge are going to believe something false that some popular rock star would say, that would cause people to be completely out of whack with the system, with God's system of truth. I think we have the problem fixed with our telephone. If we could get our caller to call back, we had the technician come in here and do a little work, and sure enough, if that phone will ring again, I believe we can pick it up and hear somebody make a comment. And we do wish that you would. We're talking about knowledge tonight, and we've already talked about those individuals who are recipients of this letter. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that they are those of like precious faith. They are Christians. And it is because of their fear and their love of God that they obeyed the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit directed them to do. The caller's on the line.
Well, let's try one more time. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please.
My name is Rick, and just wanted to call and tell you guys how much I appreciate being able to listen to the program, and especially on the topic of the Christian graces there in 2 Peter. With reference to knowledge, I love First Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7,
mm-hmm.
and chapter 2, because it talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge, but then chapter 2, it's also the result of knowledge. So maybe you guys could comment on those two passages for us. I appreciate it.
Okay, Rick, do you have an opinion, a short opinion on what happens when rock stars like Elton John make comments like they do?
Well, listen, you know, we're constantly faced with the fact that we live in a world much like worlds beforehand. There are, for lack of a better word, stupid is as stupid does, and there have always been competing knowledge out there, information out there, even from, Fox News takes basically the same position. They're just not as out there with it as the rock stars and Elton John and all of that. They don't see anything wrong with homosexuality. They don't see anything wrong with gay marriage and things such as that. They're, half of them are okay with it as well. So what we need to continue to do, I think, is to continue to press the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world and confront the false doctrines and preach the true doctrine.
Amen.
Exactly. The true knowledge that we need to acquire comes from the Holy Scriptures, and that's where people are really getting off base. They're listening to the wrong sources of information. Don't you agree, Rick?
Absolutely. And I talked on my program this morning. We talked about five key words, and I do believe these are the key words that we have to address: revelation, inspiration, confirmation, preservation, and inspiration. And then you talked about, you chimed in about perspiration. Perspiration may be more about Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, those five words are under attack.
Exactly.
With regard to the Bible.
You know,
don't believe in the revelation of God.
You know, and there are a lot of people today who don't believe that the Bible is truly the inspired Word of God, and as a result, they could really care less about what it says. And that's one of our difficulties, that we've got to get people to really chime in and understand that the Bible is indeed God-breathed, and that's where our knowledge needs to come from. You know, we cannot have true faith and virtue if our knowledge is not based upon from the proper source.
That's exactly right. And besides, It gives us no value eternally if my value system, even if I'm, you know, a lot of people walk with God as long as God happens to be walking in their direction. But is there a lot of people who don't like homosexuality?
We've lost Rick. We'll try to pick up later on. He asked us to comment, Tom, on Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 and Proverbs chapter 2, and I believe he was making a reference to verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, that word fear is used in the sense of reverence, and if you look up the Greek word, that's exactly what that word will be, is reverence. And when we reverence God and we reverence His name and we reverence that word, then we will show our love to Him. And that love and that fear and that respect and that reverence that we have for Him, Tom, is going to cause us to look into who God is, what He is, and what He expects of us. As the all-giving of all life, creator of the universe, we need to know God. And the only way that we can know God is through the Word. He's not going to speak to us directly today. And so we've got to get in that Word and understand who God is. And that there is where we gain our knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge that we glean from that book.
Exactly. You know, David Bill on the chat room mentions 2 Peter 1 and verse 8 and says that puts the burden on the individual to obtain these virtues, so they must study and gain the knowledge. You know, that's key, David, to mm-hmm. really gaining any kind of insight into any of these virtues. And that's gaining knowledge. And knowledge does not come by accident. And again, we mention 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study or give diligence to make yourself approved unto God. And so we've got to put effort into gaining knowledge and also gaining the right knowledge.
Well, now the passage of Scripture that Bill was referring to, for those of you out there that are listening and don't have their Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "For if these things," and he's talking about those Christian graces, that would be faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, "if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But they've got to abound. And that just doesn't mean a surface reading. That means a study, a diligent study of the Word of God, so that we can gain this knowledge.
Exactly. You know, and Carol says on the chat box, you know, we need to read the Bible, not just simply reading the Bible. That does not constitute Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference in devotionally reading the Word of God and really digging in to what the Holy Scriptures say.
Right.
And that's vital because we can be misinformed. Now, remember, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We may have had trouble with that number, but you can also call, and it's all in the chat room, 254-654-3251. We'll get with our webmaster and find out if something happened. We've got another call here. Hold on a second. Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please.
Hello?
Well, we're having trouble with our phone somehow tonight, David. I'm not sure what's going on, but they probably can hear us, but we can't hear them, and I have no idea why. So sorry about that, folks, and we'll see if we can't get this problem resolved for next week. But we do appreciate you calling in. We appreciate the comments that are being made tonight. Tonight we're talking about the Christian graces. And we're speaking specifically about knowledge. We're to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And there are a lot of people out there in the world today who have knowledge, but not a true knowledge of the Word of God.
That's true. And when we were talking just a moment ago in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And Tom, a fear of God without obedience is absolutely ineffective. You know, if we just say, well, okay, I know that, but I'm not going to do it, without obedience, it's not going to mean a thing. Because even the devils have a fear of God, and it causes them to tremble. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, even the devils believe and tremble. And so we know that just a belief is not going to get it, but without obedience, it's nothing. Our fear and our respect of God is only the beginning of knowledge, but I want you to notice what knowledge can do for us, Tom. Knowledge can renew us. And the very fact that we became Christians through our obedience means that we are renewed in the knowledge of God. And that means that we are born again. And Tom, do you have that passage of Scripture there, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10?
Colossians 3 and verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him." Renewed in knowledge. David, again, how often do we see in the Scriptures where knowledge of the Word of God is crucial to every aspect of one's Christian life? And even in the Old Testament, knowledge was crucial. And the right knowledge, and we're going to be looking at, we probably won't be able to get to it today, but there were a lot of people who received various types of knowledge throughout the Scriptures, but it was incorrect.
Right.
And really, David, knowledge, you know, if you have a knowledge of something that's false, that knowledge is of no value.
None at all. And I would like to ask this one question to any and everybody. Is this: how can we do the will of God without having the knowledge of what God wills? It's an absolute impossibility to do God's will without the knowledge of God's will. That would be like trying to obey your parents and not knowing what they want you to do.
You know, and it's not just getting into the Scriptures, but it's being serious about it, isn't it, David?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times people can lackadaisically study the Scriptures or go in studying the Scriptures with their preconceived ideas instead of seriously wanting to know what the Bible has to say. You know, there is something called exegesis, where we bring out the meaning of a passage, but a lot of people are using what's called eisegesis, where they're trying to put into the passage what they want it to mean. Hmm. And that's just the opposite of the way it should be. And that's the reason why a lot of people come up with an inferior or a false knowledge because they tried to eisegete instead of exegete. You know, those are big fancy words. We're just saying, let God tell you what the, you know, listen to what the Bible says.
They're too big for me. Let's get back to Erath County language. But our knowledge of God applied, according to this passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, makes us new, clean, and pure, even as pure as precious babies are. But even healthy babies have got to grow and they've got to learn. And so we, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, Tom, we are going to have to follow this maturing process. And as we do, sometimes we're going to stumble and we're going to fall.
Exactly right. But you know, when we do, David, we cannot give up.
No.
You think about the little baby. How many times does a little child begin to walk and falls and falls and falls, and then one day he finally learns how to walk? And so we too must persevere. Even though we stumble from time to time, David, with God's knowledge, with his word, we can learn how to walk spiritually, and that is key to getting to heaven, knowing how to walk. And that knowledge only comes from the Word of God. And again, we might be reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where we're told to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
And this goes along with one of our listeners tonight, Micah, that writes in and says, studying requires digging deeper into God's word and truly exegeting the passages, meaning that we've got to work at it until we get it right, just like that baby has to work at it until he can get up on his own two feet and walk without holding on to his mama's hand.
You know, David, as an example, if you were to go to the Bible and go to John 3 and verse 16, and that's the only passage you read about salvation, you would come away with the conclusion that all a person had to do was to believe in Jesus to be saved.
Right.
But if you look at all of the other passages in the Bible that talk about salvation, you know that there's much more to belief than that. And as a result, people's refusing to properly study the Bible diligently and looking at all the Bible has to say about a topic, if they aren't doing that, then they can come away with false knowledge.
No doubt. So as we study, and as we accumulate the knowledge of God's Word, then we find out what God's will for us is. And we learn immediately, if we read any part of God's Word, we learn immediately what sin is, which begs the question, where did Elton John come up with his information? Because he's not going to get his information, that information that he posted worldwide for everybody to believe. He did not get that information from true knowledge. He got it from false knowledge and even some that he might have concocted himself.
You know, have you ever asked David, I know you have, some people why they believe certain things? Mm-hmm. It's because they just want to believe it. That's what they want.
Right.
And their knowledge of something is based on purely upon that what they want. And that's what Elton John's statement was all about. His knowledge was based purely upon what he wanted. You know, we're told in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, that sin separates us from God. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
1 John 3, verse 4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. That's what the Bible says. And so in light of what Elton John said with regard to Jesus and homosexuality, you know, there are a lot of passages, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 that we mentioned earlier, that tells us that homosexuality is a sin. Well, based upon that, what Elton John says, his knowledge was based upon something other than the Bible. The Bible is what we are to base our spiritual knowledge upon. And any other knowledge, then, remember what we said earlier, David? Matthew 28, verse 18, or verse 19, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, verse 18. All authority. No other authority is to be used with regard to our salvation than what Jesus said.
Now, if you don't get anything else out of this program, then please understand this. There is absolutely nothing in this world more important than truth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. Because from truth comes everything else. When everything is defined in light of truth, then we will have it, but not until we have truth. And there's nothing in this world that is more important than truth. And so through knowledge, and that would be the knowledge of the Lord, that would be the truth, we learn that we can escape the pollutions of this world. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." So we can escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge that we can gain from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a marvelous thing? We don't have to bury ourselves up in the muck like Elton John has and try to convince everybody to come down in the muck with him so that he can feel better about his spiritual situation.
You know, exactly right, David. And, you know, we also learn through the knowledge of God's Word that he is not willing that any should perish, but mm-hmm. that all should come to repentance. And, David, that's good news. We
Absolutely.
Learn that from the Holy Word of God, and he doesn't want us to perish, but he wants us to come back to him in repentance. And we cannot learn that outside the Bible. We
No.
cannot learn that outside the authority of the Scriptures. That only comes from God's Word, and that's why it's so important to have the proper knowledge.
True, and people talk about the love and the grace of God. Here is the love and the grace of God. It comes through the knowledge. In 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, talking about God who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, you cannot be saved until you come to a knowledge of the truth. And that's the problem. People want to be saved. Even Elton John wants to be saved, or he wouldn't be messing around with Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But you
right.
cannot be saved without a knowledge of the truth. And that is why truth is the most important thing in the world.
Now, we're going to show in other lessons and later on perhaps with our topic that mere knowledge is not enough. We're going to have to act on that knowledge. But you can't act on something that's false. You know, in your Bibles, you'll notice in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it says, "Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed on him, 'If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Truth makes us free. Jesus says you're going to have to abide in my truth
right.
to be set free.
Well, we want to welcome or thank everyone that was tuned into the radio program tonight. We want to thank you for your comments on the chat box. We want to thank Rick and those others who tried to call in. We will get this telephone thing fixed for next week for sure. And we want to thank you for calling in, being a part of this program. This is what makes this program really work, is when you call in and make it your program, and we'll just follow along with the Word of God, making sure that everybody has access to the knowledge that is so important to their salvation. I'm David Harris, and thanking you from the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Tom, you got the last word.
You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.